Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.
When Jesus spoke to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And again Jesus said, "This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed."
Welcome to Shedding Shackles. Today's topic is the light and the plant. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Hi, everyone. This is Roland. Today, I'm going to do what I always do. I turn the microphone on and speak and pray God something good will be there for you. Let's talk about light. In the world, you have earthly light, or the light from the sun. I want to draw your attention to the special relationship that exists between the sunlight and the plant. The plant lifts up its leaves and receives sunlight. And somehow, in some marvelous and mysterious and wonderful way, the plant is able to use the sunlight and some water and some carbon dioxide and a few minerals and make more leaves and wonderful flowers and fruit. It's just amazing. Every plant is able to make lush foliage and beautiful, beautiful flowers and all kinds of luscious fruit and vegetables from sunlight. So the main thing is the sunlight, and then a little water, a little carbon dioxide, and a few minerals. Now, I want to draw your attention to the human soul. The human soul can have a direct relationship with God the Father, who sends light that the plant has with the sun. The human soul can receive spiritual light, and from that light, somehow, our insights, realizations, understanding, and receiving that light brings joy and awe and wonder and peace to the soul. And the soul then imparts something of that light to the body. And it's a beautiful energy with which to live and move and have your being. Now, when we fall away from the light, when we fall away from God's light, we fall into the dark theater of the imagination. Then we have to compensate from below for what we lack from above. So, without insight, realizations, understanding, and love. Oh, yes, another thing. The light from the sun gives light and warmth. And the light from God, the spiritual light from God, gives truth and love. Love is like warmth. It corresponds to warmth, and truth corresponds to light. In the light, you see what is true, and you also see what is not true. The light shines upon everything. But now, I want you to see that the soul that lives in God's light passes all of that good that is in the light, passes it on to something of it, to the body. But when we fall away from the light, we walk in darkness, we have to compensate from below, and so we need a different kind of energy. We have to have an energy such as animals have. We have to glean energy from our surroundings and the food that we ingest. And not having love, we compensate from below, and instead we have emotions, animal emotions. So I think you can see that having fallen away from God, it then becomes an unstable thing and a thing that's dependent on others and on the environment for energy and for whatever temporary life can be gleaned. You understand? So we were originally meant to live in God's light. And God's light is still there. It is still there, but we fall away from it. And in order to get back to a right way of living, to a right economy in your body, to a right way of relating to everything, and to peace of mind, and all the benefits that come from living in the light, you have to refine the light, and then you have to live from it.
You're listening to Shedding Shackles with Roland Trujillo. Christian stress management on the radio for over 34 years.
You have to refine the light, and then you have to live from it. But if you choose, for whatever reason, to reject the light, then you are forced to compensate from below in a temporary existence. So that brings up the obvious question as to why anybody would fall away from the light or want to fall away from the light. And secondly, if the light is all around us, why do we not have access to it? Well, you remember when Christ was in the world on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, he spoke, and when people heard him, some people responded, and they awoke, and in his light they saw, they realized, they understood, and they loved him, and they loved the light. They loved where he was coming from, and they wanted to also go where he was coming from. And so their soul responded, and they drew near to him, and it was good for them. But then other people, they didn't respond. They heard what he said, but it didn't affect them in any way. They just said, oh, that's interesting, and they walked away. And then other people, they hated the light. They hated it. Well, for the ones that hate the light, there's obviously no hope for them. But there is, and for the ones who hear and respond, well, they will become children of the light, children of God. But there's a vast number of people in the middle who could respond, but they don't, or they haven't yet. Let's put it that way. So let's talk about that. So what is it that keeps us from the light? Well, first of all, it's a strange thing about human beings. When you have accepted some notion, some idea as truth, then that accepting of it, then somehow after that, it's hard to let it go. And I don't know why that is, but it just is so. All around the world, you see people believing the wrong thing, a foolish thing. And if you try to enlighten them, they don't want to hear it. They argue with you. They resist you. And they defend stubbornly what they have accepted, willy-nilly, or programmed, or what has been shocked into them, or what has been impressed into their mind. They take it on and then they defend it as if it was true, as if it was their very own idea even. So when people have accepted wrong ideas, then they kind of block. Look, in order to reject a wrong idea, you have to see that it's wrong, or at least you have to begin to question it. You have to begin to question it and then to doubt it, and then to let it go. You see? And doubting the wrong is the same as believing what is true. In the light of reason, you see the error, the wrong. Now you see that it's wrong, and you let it go. See how simple that is? But you know that people cling to wrong ideas. So that's one problem. So if people have accepted one thing, then for them to begin to see that it's not true and to question, be willing to question it, and then to doubt it and to let it go, that's a big thing.
Email Roland now at roland@sheddingshackles.com. Call Roland now at 510-455-8851.
Having a change of mind, a change of heart, it's a big thing. But most people, they're stubborn. They don't want to let go of, or they can't let go, or something won't let them let go of some wrong idea that they've taken in. It becomes so subtle that even a right idea, in other words, even a factually correct idea accepted wrongly, can also prevent you from the truth. So it's like accepting a false version of something can prevent you from the real thing. And so people can tell you all kinds of factual truths, and then you start accepting them just because they said so. Or you accept them emotionally. They get you emotional, then you accept them emotionally. So you accept them just because the person said so, or because they have a certain authority, or you don't want to disappoint them, or because they'll give you something, you'll get some kind of a perk or promotion if you accept it. So there's a many, many, many different reasons. Or just being programmed, just opening up your mind and just taking in whatever is spoon-fed to you, that can also prevent you from the real thing, from seeing in the light. That's what you want to do. You want to see in the light. You have to be willing to hold things up to the light and look at them and wonder about them and question them. So I went off on a little bit of a tangent here. But can you see that if somebody is stubborn, then they will actually fight off the light of truth, the very light that could awaken them. They fight it off. They resist it because they don't want to admit that they've been fooled or deceived or they've accepted a wrong idea or something. They just don't want to admit it. So it's a quirk of nature, this stubbornness, but it's definitely can stand in the way of the light. But ultimately, look, we've all accepted wrong ideas. We've all made mistakes. We've all been tempted to do something wrong. We've all gotten angry and said the wrong thing, and we've stormed off, and we've all tried to prove something. And then after we make a mess out of ourselves, then we try to save ourselves. See, then we put ourselves into the hands of others who say that they can make us okay again. But somehow, through all that we've been through, yet we still, deep in our hearts, we're still looking for the truth. And it, you know what it boils down to? It boils down to a love of truth. That's what it boils down to. And eventually, those in the middle, see, some sooner and some later, some much later, if they're very stubborn, eventually they accept the truth, or at least part of the truth. And then that truth leads them to more truth and to more truth and to more truth. So to the extent that you have right ideas about things and that you have common sense, to that extent and to the extent that you live a decent life, a moral life, because you see that that's the right way to go, to that extent, and to the extent that you live sensibly, see, you save your money, you're not wasteful, and to the extent that you treat others fairly, and so on, to all of those extents, see, that keeps you not too far away from the truth. It keeps you safe, and then you can live longer, live long enough to discover what you still need to discover.
Hi. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Shedding Shackles has been helping people cope with stress with principles of Christian stress management for over 34 years. So if you are stressed out, you will want to stay tuned to Shedding Shackles. We've got lots of free resources to help you get started reducing stress in your life.
Hi, my name is Andrew. You're listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Roland brings old-time religion to life as he talks about repentance and turning back to God. Roland makes a new program every week just for the radio listener. So be sure to take advantage of this special resource. Roland wants you to know that Shedding Shackles is easy to find at your favorite podcast place. Roland says that since his program is only on the radio once or twice a week, you really should check out the podcast so you can listen again. Thanks and blessings.
Call Roland now at 510-455-8851.
Don't be afraid to pray for spiritual help. You remember Charles Wesley, the famous hymn writer? He wrote the hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. This is Charles Wesley's prayer for spiritual help. The praying spirit breathe, the watching power impart. From all entanglements beneath, call off my anxious heart. My feeble mind sustain, by worldly thoughts oppressed. Appear and bid me turn again to my eternal rest. The prayer of Charles Wesley. So don't be afraid to pray for spiritual help. Pray to God and ask for light. Ask for light. If your thoughts are dark, ask God for light. But ultimately, you have to find a relationship with God's light, the same relationship that the plant has with the sun. Now, the only thing is that, in a sense, you're bending your knee before God to the light. You know, there was a beautiful movie. It was made long ago. It was called Robin Hood, and there have been several remakes, and you know about remakes. But the original one had Errol Flynn and Olivia de Havilland, two great Hollywood actors. But Errol Flynn was Robin Hood, and he was an independent kind of a guy. He didn't want to do anything just because somebody told him to, and he didn't like the Sheriff of Nottingham, who was a phony and who was a hypocrite and who was bad. And so he loved what was good, and he didn't like what was evil. He had a heart for the people. But because he had a heart for the people and he thumbed his nose at authority, well, then the authorities didn't like him, so they tried to get him. So you know the story of Robin Hood. But in the movie, there's a beautiful scene toward the end. The real King Arthur, who had been away from the country, was now back, and he wanted to see what was going on. He knew something was wrong in his kingdom, but he wanted to figure out what it was before he made his move. So he dressed up just like a regular person and pretended that he was, I think, a monk or something with a robe on and a hood. And he just went around so he could see what was going on. And at some point, he met Robin Hood, or Robin Hood met him out in the forest. And I don't remember how it all came to pass, but at some point, he took off his brown monk's hood and robe, and underneath was his kingly attire, his royal garb, and Robin Hood knew that he was the real king who Robin Hood respected. And Robin Hood got down on his knee and said, "My lord," because the good king was the real king, not an impostor. So all around you there are imposters and fakes and liars and deceivers and false authorities, and you don't want to bend your knee to them. But when you recognize and yield to the real truth, you're bending your knee before God. He is the God of truth and the God of light, and he is respectable and honorable, and there's no shame in bending your knee before God. You see, a lot of us, we don't want to submit to anything. But when the real thing comes along, we submit. So when finally one day the truth shines, God turns up the dimmer switch and you see your own wrong. You see that you're impatient with your kids. You see that you say things that you really don't know if they're true or not. You see that you're selfish. You see that you are looking out for selfish advantage. You see that you compromise, and you see that you're cowardly. You don't speak up because you're afraid of losing some kind of benefit. You're afraid of offending. You're afraid of not being liked. See? And so you cower, and you see that. And now you see your own wrong, and you regret what you see. And it's a humbling sadness to see your own wrong and realize you can't make yourself right. Well, in essence, what you're doing is you're bowing to the truth. You, finally, after resisting the truth and not wanting to admit you're wrong, now you submit to the light of truth. And now hostilities between you and God cease. Now your soul is bared to the light. And yeah, it's a little painful in the beginning because you have to see your own wrong, but it's only painful to your ego. But it's good because now you are reconciling with your Heavenly Father. And reconciled with Him, you now come over to His side. And in the past, you had been in league with the bad guys. You had been in league with the dark side, fighting the light, fighting conscience, fighting truth. See? But now you come over to the good side, and it's a beautiful thing.
You should understand what stress is. Studies have found that stress compromises your immune system. A meditation moment. I'm Jeremiah Trujillo. I'm here to tell you that the human being was created to be not emotional. The human was created to acknowledge God, to know God, and to be with God forever. Our responses should be reserved for our Creator and what He provides for us. Joy, peace of mind, delight. We should marvel at His creation, loving Him and looking to Him. Find more inspiration for your day at SheddingShackles.com.
So I want you to see that you have to find the light. So everything that we do here, everything we do is to help you to wake up and in the light, see what you need to see and come back to God's light. And it's such a beautiful thing because He not only, in His light, you not only see what is true, but His light contains everything else that you will need. It becomes for you repentance. It becomes forgiveness. And it becomes understanding and realization. And then as it filters through your mind and your emotions, it becomes calmness. It becomes patience, see? And it becomes love. Not a love you can feel, but a love that is there. It becomes natural restraint. It becomes all manner of good things. And it's actually the kingdom of heaven that when you receive God's light, and you want that light, and you yearn for that light, and every day you renew. So why do I talk about this little meditation or this little hand-warming exercise? Why? The hand-warming exercise is just a little biofeedback where you sit quietly and become aware of your hands until they tingle a little bit, a tingly warm feeling. It's so simple. You know, people do it everywhere. You do it, you learn it at work to de-stress. You know, you go to a seminar at work where they have a video you can watch. You know what I mean? But the difference is the way I say it. It has a little spiritual dimension to it because it's coming from a good place, see? It wants you to wake up and receive the light, see? God's light. So that part is good. And a little meditation, what is it? It's just basically the hand warming, but you also close your eyes and you see the little glow of light on the inside of your eyelids, the little pixels of light, the little patterns of light when you close your eyes. So that's all it is. It's just a little meditation. So just like you would go sit quietly somewhere, you could go sit quietly somewhere, you know, on a park bench or in your bedroom or on your sofa. And when you're there and it's quiet and it's safe and you don't have anything to do, then you can close your eyes. But instead of going to sleep, instead of drifting away with music, see, or instead of sitting there and then thinking about what you have to do, what happened, what he said, what email you have to send, what text you have to answer to, instead of all that, you just sit there and you just look at the little pixels of light on the inside of your eyelids. That's all you have to do. So that is actually spiritual light. You're actually seeing spiritual light that contains everything that you need, just like the sunlight. So what I was going to say, it's a little commitment to wanting to know the truth and to wanting God in your life, see? So instead of resisting him and resenting the truth and refusing to admit you're wrong, now you just become a little bit humbler, more humble and receptive to God's light. And it imparts something good, and it's the beginning of the kingdom of God that will come. How can I say this? That will be project around you. You will change. Your life will change. Everything will change for the better. And it's nothing you make happen. It happens. It's God. God will do it. It's beautiful. And every day you wake up and with joy, you rush forward like a little kid running across the carpet, looking forward to a new day of adventure. Every day you wonder, what new surprise will God have for me today? It's so beautiful. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.
Shedding Shackles is sponsored by Roland Trujillo.